listening to Enduring Words for Troubled Times, a daily devotional brought to you by Pastor David Guzik for Enduring Word.
Today, I want to talk to you about something pretty solemn that God told the people of Israel in the wilderness. He told them, "This will not succeed." You see what I mean? I'm going to read to you from Numbers chapter 14. I'm going to begin at verse 40, and I'm going to finish at verse 45, but I'm not going to read all the verses in there. You'll see, follow along here, Numbers chapter 14, starting at verse 40, where we read, "And they rose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, 'Here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned.' And Moses said, 'Now, why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed.'" Now down to verse 44. "But they presumed to go up to the mountaintop." Now verse 45. "Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwelt in that mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Hormah." They were all born as slaves, as were their ancestors for several generations. With great power and drama, God brought them out of Egypt's slavery, and then he pointed them towards the promised land of Canaan, the land that was theirs by the promise God made to their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They enrolled in what you might call Yahweh's Wilderness School of Discipleship, with the most intense lessons at the foot of Mount Sinai. After a year of training there, they set out to take what God had given, a new life in the promised land. But a funny thing happened to them on the way to Canaan. Based on the majority report from a group of 12 men on a reconnaissance mission, the people of Israel felt that God wasn't up to the job of leading them into the promised land. They thought perhaps God didn't really know how big the people who lived there were, or how mighty their cities were. In any regard, they felt it was safer and better to stay in the wilderness, or maybe to head back to Egypt. It was slavery, but at least it was security. When push came to shove, the people proved pushovers for unbelief and fear. So God said that the generation of unbelief would perish in the wilderness, and God would raise up from the wilderness a generation of faith. They would trust him enough to enter in, but the generation just put on the shelf didn't like that. Surely there was a way around all this, a religious way around it all. Now, Numbers chapter 14, verse 39 says that the people mourned greatly. Of course they did. They were sorry in the way that we're all sorry for the consequences of our sin, but they were not so sorry as to turn their hearts to a genuine trust of the Lord. Instead, they found their refuge in religion or religious actions. Look at the record from the end of Numbers chapter 14. It says that they rose early, they went up to the top of the mountain. They said, "Here we are, and we will go up." And they even said, "We have sinned." They wanted to make it all better with a few religious works and words, but their hearts were not changed. See, all of this was done on their initiative, as a way to do God's will their way, hoping to reap the same blessings. Friends, that can't work. Moses spoke rightly, "For this will not succeed." Many of us want to make up our own way to God. It's often done with great sincerity, but little thought. We do what we think we should to make God happy, and we just kind of lay it out before him and receive it as a gift of love, or hope that he'll receive it. But when you really love somebody, you want to know what they want. You take the time to learn what pleases them and what doesn't please them. God wasn't pleased with Israel's plan because it was all about self and not about faith. Moses saw this, and he knew that it would not succeed, and it did not succeed because God was not with them. They made a futile attempt in the flesh to accomplish what they had rejected by faith, and it ended in defeat. It was time to head back to the wilderness and relearn the lessons that they should have learned the first time. When God was with Israel, unbelief told them that it was not enough. Now that God was not with them, they thought that they could do it. Well, they could not do it. They were defeated and in full retreat. The rest of the book of Numbers is about picking up the pieces and starting again after this bitter experience. More than anything, Israel needed to remember two, what you might call bookends of our life with God. Jesus said in John chapter 15, "Without me, you can do nothing." That's one side. We can do nothing without Christ. The other bookend is in Philippians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul, by faith, said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Friends, we can either do nothing without Christ or all things with him. You see, they could have and should have known this principle before there ever was a New Testament. What excuse do we have? Friends, let's resolve to point our focus away from self and on to the Lord and receive all that he has to give us in faith. And let's resolve to do that today.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Pastor David Guzik and his ministry, please visit enduringword.com.